Aid Station's been really looking after a lot of Aussie athletes, which is great. And we're stoked to have them on for our show as well as a show sponsor. So thanks to Aid Station. They're the leading online store for endurance sports nutrition in Australia and New Zealand. Whether you're a pro or training for your first event, they've got everything you need to fuel your performance. Over 1,000 products from 80 top brands, including gels, hydration, energy gear. You'll find it all in one place. Download the Aid Station app now or visit aidstation.com.au. The pros are well into the marathon. Clint, what's been going on?
Everyone came past us at about 3 kilometres looking atrocious, bar Patrick Lang. Then specifically Magnus Ditlev looked disgusting and I thought, oh, his day is done. Through about 28K he was in fifth and now he's running as fast as anyone. So who knows in this game.
He's got a great head on his shoulder, Magnus. Like, he just seems very calm, knows how to play the Ironman game. Came back from it feeling pretty bad. We saw Gustav vomiting. We saw Blumenfeld vomiting. Apo was having a bit of issue with his nutrition. We switched him to Coke. He seems to be building back into the run nicely. Steve seemed to have lost a couple of hours of nutrition, so he was really, really struggling out there, which is hard to watch. Where do you see it playing out from here, Clint?
Well, I think it's... Well, it's obvious it's Patrick's race to lose, but it's more like second through fifth. Like, Leon Chevalier got up to second. Now he's back down to fifth. Let's go Lang, Ditlev, Rudy von Berg for the podium.
I tell you what, it's super, super muggy and hot. There's not a lot of wind, but this run would be close to hell as you can imagine. So it'll be fast times just because of the bike, but the run is going to be brutal. And I still think anything could happen late in the run.
Just remember, ladies and gents, you can't have 120 grams an hour in Hawaii.
Well, Clint, that was quite a day yesterday. We're going to wrap it up. Quick reflections on the race. First of all, Patrick Lang, that is just extraordinary running. He is at another level to anyone in the sport when it comes to running in the heat. But what was most impressive too was his swim. He was right up there in the swim. And we know that this bike course tends to suit heavier riders. And he still managed to really hold his own on the bike. So it was a great all-round performance. I think everyone will see the run and think that's what won him the race. But he really set himself up by always being still within shooting range.
Well, yeah, he had... it's a run bike PB for him. So he obviously had to work pretty hard to stay with that group. And they certainly weren't... weren't dithering along. They were getting along pretty well. So to get off, and as soon as he got off, he just looked like he hadn't even ridden. So it's as soon as they came past us with a couple of K just into the run, it was pretty obvious that he was a man among boys, if you will.
Who would you give most courageous award to? Obviously, you know, it's always courageous to win the race, but someone, you know, I'll start off maybe. I think Magnus, he obviously had a real bad spot there and said he felt terrible on the bike. And just to be able to dig deep like that and stay calm and get back on track was super impressive.
I've got four for us to talk about. Cam Wirth,
yep.
Leon Chevalier, Matt Hansen and Magnus. You go with Cam?
Yeah, I think Cam's, you know, his year is always in a bit of turmoil because he's trying to fit in, you know, racing for Ineos, and then but still manages to just come into Kona each time and really fit and ready to go. I'd love to see him give Kona one more crack and really work on his swim throughout the whole year, you know, instead of it being an afterthought at the end of the day, which I don't know if it is. That's just what I speculate when I was looking at his technique. But you know, he could, I still believe he can get a podium. He's sort of ageless. He doesn't get mentally fatigued from all the training like a lot of other athletes, and I know he's still hungry.
Leon Chevalier, he kind of back a little bit in the swim, had the second fastest ride in the end, like rode through, ran his way to second, and then I think there's going to be an iconic photo there of him just dunking his whole head in a massive ice bucket. Wheels fell off pretty hard when he got to second and still hung on for fourth, and he was only 40 seconds off the podium, so that's pretty disheartening for such an awesome day. Matt Hansen, Reid?
Yeah, Matt Hansen. I think, you know, we know that this race does tend to suit certain athletes, and Matt is not one of those athletes. Typically, he's had a hard day in Kona, even though on cooler days, he's been exceptional. And so it was great to see him just get himself into a great position and get what he deserves for working so hard over the years. And it also, you know, like we were saying to Apo and Steve, it's to do well in this race, you've got to be resilient. You've got to be, you know, take your lessons and come back. I think one of the biggest lessons we could take away from this race is obviously there's been a trend to more and more carbohydrates. And I've always said, you know, when we do our sweat testing and fueling consultations, that I try and give athletes a hot race plan and a cooler race plan, because it's so much harder to tolerate the carbs. And if you have too much and you shut down your stomach, you're not going to stay hydrated. You're not going to be able to even fuel. So less can be more in these hot races. And I think that trend towards everyone going higher and higher sort of backfired today. We saw, you know, Blumenfeld vomiting. We saw Gustav vomiting. Apo shut down his gut. So I actually made all my age groupers not go over 90 grams per hour. And I just assumed I didn't want to mess with the pros fueling too much. And I sort of regret not doing that. But he couldn't take in fuel from 10K. Obviously, Steve lost his fuel, so that wasn't his issue. I think that was a big takeaway, just watching how many people had shut down their guts in this race.
Yeah, and I guess the last one for Magnus was the fact that the wheels fell off towards the end of the bike. He got, like, they caught him pretty easily. I think he lost about 6 minutes towards the end, but he still took his time through T2 to get, he had a few cooling strategies with a hat and some stuff in his suit, got out, looked rubbish, settled in, ended up getting back to second. So it's just patience is always the key there, I think.
Final thought, I really felt like the local community seemed a lot more accepting of the race this time around. I think maybe a couple of quieter years and they're like, oh, we sort of need this business. But I think perhaps, you know, it just seems to be working well with the community at the moment. Obviously, we do want the race to be both men and women racing at the same place. So it's a challenge that I don't know what the answer is going forward. But I think the rumours are strong that we won't be a separate world champs for too much longer.
One of the good things of the week was when, in the pro panel, when Patrick Lang said, straight to Scott, the guy who runs Ironman, I think it's time to ring the ladies back and we race together. And then he goes out and wins the race. So hopefully that has some weight when they go back and look at the numbers and decide that we should really take it back to the old school.
Good on you, Clint. All right, thank you. Flight home. Job well done. Congrats on all your age group results.
You too, Mr.
Reid. Some top fives. We are pretty happy with everyone. We're really proud of everyone's effort. I don't think we had any DNFs, which is always a huge...
There was some convincing, even though Steve's doing something else now, there was some convincing that had to be said at about 10K into that run, and we're super stoked that he went and found out about himself for a couple of hours out there. So, yeah, great day.
Over and out. Oh, we should mention too, again, thank you to Aid Station for sponsoring the episode, and all the money will go to TriMob, not to our pockets this time. All right, sitting here with Sam Apo, swam very well, really up there on the bike, and then a little bit of fade on the run. But Apo, enough from me. Tell me how the race went down from the person that actually did it.
It wasn't a disastrous day, but yeah, tough day. It's always tough. Kona's the great humbling experience. Swam with the front group, which was kind of my main goal, to swim as easy as possible but still be right up there, which was, you know, what I did. And then onto the bike, there was a pretty big group of us, and it's just everyone's fighting for position. It's so surgy. It's like 400 watts, 200 watts, 400 watts, 200 watts. But I felt pretty good on the bike, and I got to the turnaround at Harvey, and I think my power was pretty much at 17.3 watts. But I think maybe that took a bit of a damage out of the legs. But I rode back by myself and actually still felt really good riding. And I think I rode 410, so pretty good bike, happy with that. But then out onto the run after like 4 or 5K, I pretty much knew that, you know, it was going to be a case of one foot in front of the other. And I was rolling all right for 25, 30K, ticking off between 4 and 410s. But then you know, into the energy lab and coming back out. It's pretty lonely. It gets really hot, pretty undulating as well. And yeah, it just almost became a case of getting to the finish. Yeah, one foot in front of the other, trying not to walk. But yeah, I mean, pretty tough day, but I went 30 minutes faster than I did 2 years ago and still feel like I'm a bit behind, but the sport's just elevated so much, you know. I think I did 8:08 and was still pretty far behind, so got a little bit more development to do, but it's definitely progressed in the right direction, I think. So, you know, there is some positives to take away from it, but yeah, I mean, I'm not devastated, but I'm a little bit disappointed.
We were talking about Apo, about the strategy for a top five compared to racing for a top 10. You know, if you know that you could probably solo time trial, run a great run and end up in the top 10. But it's a difference when you have to stay with the front guys. And you mentioned it before, like, it's very surgy, 400 watts, backing off 400 watts. Do you think next time you race, you'll go for a more steady conservative approach, or you still race to take the chance for a top five?
I mean, it's easy to say just ride your own race, but you know, when you get out in the front swim group and you've got the group dynamics rolling, you've got the motorbikes, the media, it's very compelling to stay in that group. You know, you get some extra, you get some free speed with the motorbikes, the media, obviously you've got the group advantage as well. But I think, like, there is something to be said for just riding to your own numbers, but I think that takes a very brave decision. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, I think it's very easy to get caught up in the group. So I don't know. I think it's hard to say one way or the other. When you're out in the front, you kind of want to stay there as long as possible. But yeah, I mean, we'll give a few days to reflect, and then maybe we'll, you know, do some analysis and see where we went wrong and where we can improve. And maybe it's a case of just learning to run hard or run well off a really hard bike like that, or increasing my Ironman power another 10 watts or something, you know, and getting off a little bit fresher. But yeah, it's tricky, you know. It's a world champs. Everyone's so good. It's not a solo race like Ironman Australia was for me, where you can just kind of be in your own world and stick to your own race plan. Everyone's really good, and you're kind of just getting, you know, the race dictated to you by everyone else a little bit.
I mean, you look at the guys that are behind you. You've got, you know, world champion, Ironman world champions behind you. You've got so many guys that are just phenomenal. And on probably not your best day, you still beat a lot of great guys. And I think you should be really proud, and it just shows how much this race can go one way or the other. Do you think that's the end of the season for you, or what are you thinking for the rest of the year?
I don't know, to be honest. Right now, I want to be done, but, you know, maybe we'll give it a couple of days and make a decision. You know, I think it's best to let the emotions and the adrenaline settle before making any rash decisions. So, yeah, we'll give it a couple of days and see. I do really want to spend, you know, time with the family and stuff. They've made a lot of sacrifices over the last couple of months for me, and I was really looking forward to, you know, just being a regular dude and enjoying a couple of beers at night and, you know, not being tired while looking after my son, and you know, all that simple stuff seems really appealing right now.
It's funny, isn't it? It's a big thing that I think anyone who hasn't been a professional athlete doesn't understand, is it's like the training, the pressure of the race, it affects you not just during your training hours, but it really takes its toll from the moment you get up till you go to bed. And you know, when people say, oh wow, it must be an amazing lifestyle, yes, in some regards it is, but a lot of the time it's just a lot of constant pressure. So 100% understand, Apo, and I am not surprised that you're not talking about what I'm doing next and when it's literally within an hour of finishing the race. So I just want to say, on behalf of the Triathlon Therapy listeners, we're proud of you. We think you should come back, and I'm not sure what else I was going to say.
Thank you.
All right, Luke McKenzie, second place in 1989, was it?
a long time ago, really. Yeah, in another lifetime, yeah.
But we were just talking to Apo about how much can change from the bike to the run. Like, guys that we thought, everyone thinks are way out of it, they run well, and suddenly they're in the top 7 or 8. What are your thoughts on how the day played out, and some impressive performances for you?
Absolutely, yeah. As we were just talking about, Reedy, you see the guys come off the bike and they've put in a big effort on the bike, but it's pretty evident that from watching this on the sidelines the last few years, at least half of those guys are going to come back to you. And I think what we're seeing now is you've either got to go with the move, like you were saying, and it's going to stick. But for that 50% of those guys, it's actually not going to stick. And so for the guys that are coming through, maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 minutes back, they're actually still in the race for the top 10. And what we saw today, Cam Wirth is a prime example, typically off the front in the bike, or up right up near the front in the bike. He was nowhere near the front off the bike, but he managed to run himself up as a cyclist. You would call him a cyclist, to 7th. And Matt Hansen was another one that impressed me, running all the way up to 10th from a long way back. Yet, you know, the guys that you thought were the favourites, like the Christian Blumenfelds, they came back to the field. So it's just such an interesting dynamic that, you know, I think you're never out of this race. It's such a long way back from that energy lab. I saw so much change in those last few kilometres. And so a lot of lessons to take away for any newbie pros, or just pros considering coming back here. Just, I think, staying in the day and staying in the game pays dividends at the end.
And Luke, I said it, Apo, it takes a lot to get this race 100% right. How many times had you raced Kona before you got second place?
Yeah, so I had raced Kona 7 times before I came second. And yeah, I mean, my first time here, I did 9:21 and finished 50th in the field, and really had to swallow my pride. You know, my ego took a massive hit. You know, I really, you know, walked away from that one super disappointed from the experience, but knowing that there was a lot to learn and take away from it. And it was a slow progression from there. I broke into the 20s, into the teens, into the top 10, and then ultimately second. So, you know, there's some guys that come along and get this right, you know, maybe in the first year or the first few years, but then there's also the guys that are going to have to come back here and learn the game. And I think that's, you know, an experience for someone like an Apo today was learning a lot about staying in the game. You know, I think that, you know, we saw a lot of guys that probably could have easily pulled the pin, and you saw them get to the line today, and that's only going to benefit them in the long run, the learning experience. You know, I don't think a DNF teaches you anything out here. Getting to the finish line, getting it done, and then going away and learning from it is definitely how you progress forward here.
Thanks, Luke. Great insights.
Thanks, mate.
And we are back with Tim Don, who, in my mind, should be the Ironman commentator. did you predict what was going to happen? What are your thoughts?
I did, to a point. I knew Sam had to go off the front and Dietlef had to go with him. I thought the lead pack would be smaller earlier, but it did break up coming down from Harvey. But I'll be honest, I did not see a 2:37 run from Patrick Lang to take the lead so comfortably. I mean, was it 6 years ago he went under 8 hours for the first time on this course? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and what about a lot of the big hitters who obviously didn't get what they wanted out of the race?
I think they all dug deep. I knew there'd be lots of blow-ups on the bike because, you know, the talk was the bike. And, yeah, I think they all committed early and hard. And then in that group was so big, there was only probably 20% of them working. So they weren't losing that much time initially. And it was the same people doing the work. And they're lots of the guys that blew up, while Patrick didn't really see the front. And I think coming down from Harvey, they didn't have that tailwind. So it was more about power as opposed to speed and power. But, yeah, what a race.
Absolutely amazing. Like, just watching this race, I was like, wow, it is so hot on the run. Like, if the bike is fast, the run is going to be super hot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think without the trade winds and with the cloud cover, there's that humidity. I was driving back from Harvey in the pissing rain, and you could feel the heat coming off the ground. But Patrick, he goes to the Woodlands, he prepares meticulously. You know, we talked about it earlier, having a new coach, a change is as good as a rest. He didn't need to change that much. I mean, he's run since Israel, was it 2 years ago? He's been running 2:30s in every race. Don't forget, Texas is a hot and humid race, and he won that after the DQ.
Yeah.
And he won it on the run, but still with a solid bike.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was an amazing performance from Patrick. Not entirely unexpected. I think it was just that we didn't expect so many misfires from some of the other guys.
And what about Rudy von Berg? I mean, you know, he was fourth last year in Nice. Everyone said that's because he knew the course, he could descend the bike. You know, he's a legitimate American, Belgian, French athlete now who's going to be winning the big races soon. And they're all so young as well, except for Patrick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for most athletes, it's like you hit your prime at like 35, 36. And I feel like these guys, everyone's changing that thought process. It's like if you want to win Ironman, you need to start younger, and you hit your prime probably a bit younger as well.
I think now we're getting two channels. Before, it was World Triathlon, short course, and then you migrated into long course. Now there's so much money in middle distance and long course that we're getting athletes which are going, I don't need to chase federation money, crazy races all over the world for peanuts. I can commit to long course and middle distance with the Pro Series, the T100, so many races all over the world that the 10,000 hours of training are being done specifically for the long distance and middle distance younger. And that's why someone like Sam Yelong, he hasn't done a World Cup, hasn't done a WTS, nor's Patrick Lang, nor's Dietlef. You know, the top 10, none of them have really come through that short course path. Yeah. They're hitting the long course younger.
Donny, as always, amazing insights. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Over and out.
Let's get a beer.
Yeah.